Hello, good day, and welcome to the brand new season of the Point 99 podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Steve, and this is season number 6. Hopefully, you've all been safe and well since I signed off with season 5. You may have started to wonder where I was, since it has been a little bit longer of a break than I've taken between any other season so far. Needless to say, I will be getting to all of that in good time. I'm going to cover a lot of ground in this episode, including why the break has been so long. Because I wasn't sure how long the catch-up was going to be, though, as well as doing a bit of a podcast roadmap, I decided not to host a guest this week. So it's just you and me having a bit of a catch-up before we welcome others back into the fold. I still plan to get through a good amount of content on training, events, gear during the course of the episode. So hopefully some of it will tick a few boxes for you and make it worth a listen. First, let's run through the intro. Then we'll take a look at where we go from there and just see how it goes. To introduce the podcast, the Point 99 podcast is a running podcast aimed towards all runners of all abilities. Our mission is to help everyone along whatever path their journey might take. That might be through relatable guests with their unique and inspiring stories, shared experiences, and occasional lessons that we might all eventually learn during our own journeys. Hopefully, by sharing these stories with you, it might help you avoid the same mistakes that we all make. The 99's biggest goal is to demonstrate that we are all more alike than we sometimes think, and that through shared conversation, we can all improve not only as runners, but hopefully in our day-to-day lives as well. Now that we've got that out of the way, let's look ahead to the new season. I'm really hoping that season 6 will be more of the same that we experienced with season 5, continuing the upwards trajectory, giving you all the feel and content that received such a warm reception and feedback just a few months ago. I'll be trying to stay positive and proactive in being more relaxed and engaging, not only with the conversations like just now, but also with guests. So let's see how that goes. I've also lined up some awesome guests as usual, with hopefully a lot more inspiring and motivating chats. That'll continue to push us all just a little bit further. There'll be some familiar faces joining me this season, with at least one returning guest who has agreed to give an update on their running, which is actually really positive and inspiring to see. They've really been pushing themselves recently, achieving things that they might have once written off as being possible. And as I say, I for one have been cheering them on. They're doing such a great job. And yeah, it's just really inspiring to see them absolutely smashing it out of the park. As well as that though, of course, we'll have a few new faces joining us. One who openly admits to hating running, but again, in a positive way. But then we'll have a bunch of guests who, as usual, absolutely love it. Effectively, we're capturing a spread of views and stories from the running community to keep our chats honest and genuine. So here's to kicking off season 6 together. Fingers crossed we can make it a great one. And as always, I can't thank you enough for joining me as we continue our journey together. Before I run through the happenings from the break, there are two fairly big stories, one from the community and one from myself, that I would like to cover. I'll start with the less positive news first, so that hopefully we can bring the mood back up again. And it's something that many of you will already be aware of, but I feel it's worth covering for those who might not have heard or seen on socials. But also, I just want to convey some of my own thoughts and feelings on it all. So sadly, our friends at the Press Play and Run podcast have decided to draw a line under their show and call it a day, at least on the podcast side. If you're like me, the Press Play and Run podcast has been fundamental in helping motivate and inspire running for you, both through their guests as well as Ryan and Allison's own stories, running and banter. having such a strong offering in the world of running podcasts based in Scotland also really struck a chord with me, showing that there is life north of Hadrian's Wall, even if social media and many of the running giants might have you believing otherwise sometimes. Ryan really helped raise a claymore and bring some attention to everyday Scottish running and running stories. Some of you might not have been aware, but the Point 99 and the Press Play actually released their first episodes really close in proximity to one another. At the time, neither Steve nor I knew about either the Press Play or Ryan, but over time we grew a great connection, having the pleasure of hosting Ryan as a guest in season one. Now being solely Scottish in 99's own production, it really does feel like we've lost one of our own now that curtains have been called on the podcast side of the Press Play and Run. I know Ryan listens to us. I've already messaged him directly to say how much I loved and will miss the show and how much it did for my own running. I'm not alone in that thinking or the experience either. I do, however, know firsthand that it wouldn't have been an easy decision to make, especially the progress the show was making and the audience the Press Play and Run was maintaining and growing episode after episode. To draw a line under a project that was on such a roll, yeah, it's not going to be an overnight decision or an easy one to make. It is a hobby after all, and it does take up a lot of time and mental capacity. In an already busy life, when you've got work, when you've got family, and you're trying to fit in your own running as well, it's really hard to get it all done. There's always a hope that someday we might see a return of the Press Play and Run podcast. I mean, if Oasis can reform, there will always be hope for the Press Play. Personally, I would pay a lot more money to hear Ryan have a resurgence than I ever would with Oasis, as I think a lot of other people might be. So, well, I don't know, he might be able to make a small fortune if he ever does want to consider a return. Until that day, I just want to say again how much I'll miss the show and how much I really loved every episode. The Press Play has allowed so many people like myself to connect with each other, and it will continue to do so as it lives on as the Press Play and Run community and kind of run group. So if you're in the central belt of Scotland, Glasgow, Edinburgh sort of way, and you ever fancy meeting up with a well-attended group, head over to Facebook, search the Press Play and Run community and join their group there. And you'll find out all the details of how you can get involved with future runs or a little bit of park run tourism that goes on from time to time. Finally, on that topic, I have extended a hand to both Ryan and Alison in case they ever want to come to the 99, or in Ryan's case, have a return episode. The door is always open for both of them, and there's always the opportunity if they ever wanted to do a takeover episode, there's scope for anything really. And that leads me into my positive news, especially with the focus on takeover lingering, as it might soon be needed. I've already made a post on my own profile, but now it's time to share it with the whole Point 99 world. In around about 6 weeks, give or take, I'll be becoming a dad for the very first time. Of course, starting season six so close to the birth date, well, that poses a vast number of possible challenges, so much so that this season will be what it will be. Whether that's a two-parter, whether it has guest hosts, or an entirely different host stepping in for a short spell to take over the reins. Whatever the interim might become, I do want to keep the show going for as long as I possibly can in whatever format that I can. If it means handing the audio reins over to someone else and sitting in the background to do the behind the scenes stuff in an already kind of busy life around daddy duties, that might just have to be what it is. I am honestly over the moon and can't wait to meet our new addition. The joy of raising a mini-me is quickly becoming more real, but I'm relishing the idea of buggy running and the pleasure of learning more direct stories from some of our past guests on how to maintain a positive running to parenting balance while still being present with the family as well. But that really does set the tone for the season going forward, hence the tarot card influence I'm giving to season 6. Whatever be will be, it's written in the stars, it's fate. So before we have to consider any of that, or before the baby appears, let's reflect on the lengthy break that we've had in the podcast since season 5 and the goings on that happened during it. The break as a whole really all boils down to being very tired and in need of a good break off the back of the UK general election. I talked about it in season 5 about how I work with local government elections and how much the kind of pressure was building for that. And of course, it took a lot of physical and mental energy. Even now, I'm still trying to get over a little bit of the workload. I've saved all my annual leave for new dad life, so having a break from the podcast and being able to focus on a few other hobbies and actually getting back to running as well, since running took a good bit of a backseat when the election was on, it was all worthwhile and positive and helped ground me a lot. Not that the podcast was taking anything away other than it was a lot of energy to expend that I didn't really have at the time. So taking a break was always going to be the best, or at least taking a more lengthy break than I have done between any other season so far. I haven't been completely idle though. I wasn't just sitting back and doing nothing. There were events on the cards, so let's start by looking at those now. There's only one, unfortunately, even though it should have been two. The main event though is of course the Loch Ness 24. I'm not going to lie, this year was truly amazing. I'm not just saying that either, just to kind of paint a rainbow of happiness and all that side of things. I still would say that it's going to be my second favourite year so far, since I don't think that any year will ever overtake the OG year of year one, but that might just be me looking back with rose-tinted glasses. This year did come pretty close though, not going to lie. Year two as well. Well, that was a great event filled with amazing people. It was an experience I'll always look back with fond memories of, but it was also one that was filled with organizational nightmares from a team perspective in and around everything else that was going on at the time. So year three, it was a great mix of both year one and two. I had the joy of having the best company to share my time and the campsite with, and even more faces from the Instagram running community to spot and cheer on around the event. Even the weather, though, was mostly positive. We only had a few passing kind of short showers. It did give a welcome freshness in between the fairly hot sunny spells. Albeit the wind was an absolute dog the whole weekend, especially on the beach section, and not forgetting the poor gazebo that Nick kindly brought along being well and truly battered and smashed at one stage. I found that even as intimate the setting and the vastly reduced number of attendees from the community was, or in this case the cult, I may still have been a little preoccupied and potentially maybe externally grumpy. I don't think I was, but at the same time, on reflection, I don't remember spending as much valuable time with friends as I maybe could and should have done, probably focusing a little bit too much on myself and not as much of being present with those guys that had come a long way in some cases to spend time with me. I do, however, remember a lot of laughs and smiles, even if it feels like the weekend was over in the blink of an eye now when reflecting on it. Whereas in year one and two, even now, it felt like the weekend lasted an age. It felt like it was more than just like 2-3 days. From my race perspective though, I turned up, I took part, and I conquered my goals. Moreover, I not only achieved my A goal of 50 kilometers, but also my A plus goal of 75 kilometers and my A plus plus goal, very strange saying that I know, of 80 kilometers, or in silly person speak, 50 miles. Like I say, I got my 50 kilometer target bagged. I moved on to 75 and then I finally got 50 miles. I could have surpassed 100 kilometers if I really wanted to, but that was never on the cards or part of my plan going into the event. Effectively, I didn't want to overdo things. I've got a marathon coming up, which we'll get to, and I didn't want to put too much load on the body and then dramatically affect how I would perform in that event. I even surprised myself by bagging the fifth fastest solo male lap, seconds behind previous guest Mike Houston, who set off like a rocket in order to try and bag the fastest lap glory himself. He was a little bit disappointed actually on that one. Not being one to toot my own trumpet though, I actually think that if I'd gone a little bit faster, I could have bagged the fastest time. I didn't think that I would be up there at all at any stage, especially when I was going around the lap two. I just ran and yeah, I got fifth fastest solo male lap. If I'd maybe given it a little bit more thought and I thought I might have had a chance at fastest lap, then there might have been a different result to that and a different story altogether. Honestly, though, I think it was more about self-protection for the marathon and for the whole weekend to try and achieve my goal. It does go without saying that I'm chuffed to have done everything I set out to do over the course of the Loch Ness 24. The event was once again well put together, well run and well attended. There were even more runners than in any of the previous years and even more spectators. The organisers made a few small changes to the route, which actually really worked out for the better, including a longer start finish straight. They moved the event village to feel more homely and welcoming and literally more like an actual village, as well as a couple of en route changes that worked so well. They made things a little bit, in one case, safer, but also then made things a little bit more enjoyable as you came back to finish your lap. I did manage to catch up with a few past competitors from year one and two. It was nice to see other people that had been there every year so far. The staff that I've got so used to seeing and catching up with at these sorts of events, locals and even work colleagues. And of course, I can't forget to mention those who really made the weekend special for me. I've got them written down here. I've already mentioned Mike Houston. And it was, by all accounts, a bit of a past guest loving for the show with people like Chris Evans of the EH3 fame. There were other EH3 runners there, ones that I'd never met before, but I was introduced to them, whose names now completely elude me. We also had a bit of a good old tussle, myself and Chris, a bit of banter. Chris hasn't had the best of times with running recently, with a bit of injury. But yeah, he did a fantastic job. We had, as I say, a bit of banter, egging each other on, and it was just so enjoyable having someone to bounce off of. We had the beautiful cult queen, Elodie Petit. It is always a pleasure spending quality time in person with Elodie. We had Heather Ruff, who made the journey over from Skye and spent a good portion of the day supporting us all, cheering us all on and brightening the mood with her craziness. But talking about people that travelled, we had one of the OG 24 runners from year one and two who dibbed out. They dropped the dibber this year in favour for another event that we're going to cover in a little bit. Of course, Lee Campbell. It's always great seeing my man. We got a little bit of time to catch up. But as I say, I was focusing a lot on myself and running. So I do feel like I maybe didn't spend as much time with Lee as I possibly could have done. But I did see him just last weekend. Then he left and went to the Glenmore route, but we'll get to that. And finally, from the past guest slots, we had Hannah Kibble, who now lives in the area once again. Hannah popped along with her very own Steve and added more craziness to the concoction that Heather was putting out. From non-past guest faces, though, but hopefully ones that will be future guests, we have previously mentioned names to the show: Karen Russell, Nick McGowan-Lowe, Lorna Blake, Alex McDonald, and of course, she has featured briefly in an episode in the past, my ever delightful little pal, Geese Fowler. They all did phenomenally well, though, especially folks like Lorna, who was my teammate last year. She has had quite a severe injury recently, but they all did phenomenally well, as I say, bagging some truly amazing tally distances of their own. We also had a friend of Elodie's who was fresh to the cult and to the group, Joe Coyle, who made a quite lengthy drive up from the north of England quite late on, arrived first thing in the morning and was still smiling by the end of the event, even though he had very little sleep throughout that whole time. There were also bonus support attendances from some very good looking chaps that some of you might know, Gordon Glancy or Gordy Glancy and Andy Davis, who have both dabbled with Pylon in the past, so some of you might have crossed paths with them. On the topic of the 24, though, there were some new gear purchases on the cards. And for the final challenge of the year, the Baxter's Loch Ness Marathon, after the torrential washout of 2023's Loch Ness 24, I did want to expand my running shoe collection to have a second pair of trail shoes just in case I needed them. It's no lie that I'm sort of in love with Nike at the moment, so it probably won't come as any surprise that it was another pair of Nikes that I opted for the trail shoes. It was the Nike Juniper Trail 2s. They're now part of my shoe collection alongside some more trail specific clothing, I would say, from Higher State. So far, the shoes have been great to run in pre and post 24, albeit I did experience some minor blistering during the event itself. Ending up switching to the Innovate Trail Fly Ultras, it is really odd because, as I say before and since the event, I haven't had any blistering or any issue with the shoe, so it might have been potentially down to terrain or specifics, or maybe just coincidental. Maybe it was the socks, I don't know. But as I say, they've been great since. Joining the Junipers, however, we of course couldn't go into a marathon with a goal in mind and not at least give myself the best possible chance of success. So you guessed it, I went and bought myself a pair of Nike Alphafly 3s. They are phenomenal. It's no word of a lie. It's very hard to describe just how good they are. I'm loving them, as you can probably tell. I've had a few break-in sessions with them, a couple of 15k-ish and half marathon sort of distance one. So far they've been well broken in. The goal I've got in mind is around about 3 hours 30. My PB at the moment is 3 hours 42. I think the Garmin is anyway. Chip time from Amsterdam was 3 hours 45. So anything that betters either of those times would be phenomenal. Ultimately, it all comes down to how I feel on the day. If I'm not feeling it, I'm just going to have a social run with Stuart Runs a Lot, that he does. It's coming down to that morning, once the bus ride's over, feeling what I feel and just going with the flow. I haven't really been following an active marathon plan this time. I do feel I have the fitness and ability to chase a time, especially with the distance and how things went with the Loch Ness 24. But like I've said a few times now, it will come down to how I am feeling. Finally, on the topic of gear, I bit the bullet and majorly upgraded my running watch, moving from the Garmin Forerunner 55 all the way up to the Garmin Fenix Pro 7 Sapphire Edition. Bit of a mouthful. It's the solar charging one. They have now since surpassed it with the Fenix 8, but I am loving having this upgrade. I think it was Jimmy Bunter who said to me that there are so many features on this watch that I'll probably only ever use a fraction of them. It might have been Jimmy, it might not have been, but I am trying my best to have a look at as many of the features as possible. It's been such a great addition so far. And if anything, it'll be so good to have a map on my wrist when I'm out on trails. So I'm not getting lost at the end of the day. Right. Before I start flagging too much, I think it may be about time to start wrapping things up for this episode. But before I do, the usual bits and bobs, I would first like to take the opportunity to shout out a few legends who absolutely smashed out of the park at the weekend at the Glenmore 24, like I said I would get to. I did have the privilege of being able to get down to support an event for a change because it was in my neck of the woods. It was only an hour's drive. But yeah, it was great to be able to go and support and catch up with past guests, Lee Campbell, Gary Dempsey, and Rachel McPherson, who all absolutely smashed it. Like I say, getting down to an event, it's very rare for me that there's an ability to do that. The weather wasn't looking ideal at home, so the idea of getting away for the day up into the mountains of the Cairngorms, it was more appealing, especially that I'd seen the forecast of what it was going to look like there. Not great for running, but these guys, like I say, absolutely smashed it. So I took my camera down, went off with my wife and my dog, and we went down to Aviemore, to Glenmore. If you want to check out some of the photos that I got, head on over to our Facebook page. I've uploaded a few there from Lee, Gary, Rachel, and a whole range of other runners from Lap 1. The event organizer wasn't particularly keen for people to go out on the course itself, so not wanting to ruffle any feathers, I stuck to the start-finish straight and I shot into the sun. It's never ideal. If you know anything about photography, you don't really want to be doing that. I also arrived slightly late, so they're the best photos that I could get in the circumstances. But with that, the camera was overheating, and like I say, I am not sure how the guys managed to not overheat themselves. It was about 27 degrees, I think, for the majority of the midday sun, and they started in the midday sun. But we'll get to talk about the distances that they achieved. We'll start with Lee, who I think surprised himself just a little bit. Again, it's been quoted by Jimmy Bunter. He's done not bad for a social runner, or that's how Lee kind of sees himself. He didn't do bad for a social runner. He absolutely smashed it with a 74 kilometer, or again, in silly people speak, 45 mile run in 12 hours. He's rightfully so delighted with that. And what a distance to be able to do in 12 hours. Following on from that, though, we have Rachel and Gary, who were taking part in the 24-hour version of the race. And Rachel herself blew out of the park with a 107-mile finishing total. She finished 7th overall and 2nd place lady. Closely following, Gary Dempsey, who scored 115 miles, 3rd overall, which also meant he was 3rd male, and was very close to getting 2nd. And I mean, he just missed out by 1.5 miles. All 3 of them are absolute legends and well deserving of praise and shout out. I suspect it won't be very long before we see Lee chasing 100 miles himself, whether that's a 12-hour event or 24. I think maybe more than 24. I don't think we'll be very far away from seeing that happen. Let's start by wrapping things up now that we've covered that all. Thank you, as always, for joining me today. I know I said it at the top of the podcast, but your downloads, your streams will always be the best way that you can show your support for what I'm doing with this show. If you would, however, like to show your physical support for the podcast, and this is slightly different to the usual spiel that I give, you can purchase one of our original tees from our merchandise partners over at Twisted Running. Moreover, we are working with the guys on a pre-order of our new tarot-themed t-shirt that should now be up on their website. Unfortunately, we do need people to commit to supporting this one before it can go into production, as the design is slightly larger and more complex to produce, so it needs to go to the factory. So please, if you are interested, get involved and we will get it out to you all as soon as we can. So far, there's been a good bit of interest, so fingers crossed it all works out. Pop over to the Twisted Running's website to find out more information, to have a look at the design, or to sign up to the pre-order. You can always Google them, or you can find a link via our website, thepoint99podcast.com. The show is, of course, available on all major podcast platforms and on our website's inbuilt player on the episodes page. I've done a bit of a redesign to the site, so it should be a bit of a better place to visit and find out all the information that you might want to know on the various aspects of the show. You can also find us on YouTube podcasts and YouTube itself. Finally, you can follow us on Instagram by searching the Point 99 podcast if you don't already. If you want to contact me, you can drop us a DM via Instagram, or you can send us an email to thepoint99podcast@gmail.com. To date, we've still only ever received one non-business related email from Al Hager, personal best. Hopefully that won't be the only email we receive from someone who isn't business related. So the ball is in your court there. You can also find me over at my own accounts, Mr_Steve_runs for my running content, or I'm_Mr_Steve for anything else. But that's, as they say, that. Keep an eye on socials to find out who my first guest of the season is going to be. Until then, though, and as usual, I hope that you stay safe, enjoy your runs, and you will hear from me soon.